Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
I greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ to our worship service this morning. We are so happy that you are with us today. My name is Pastor Will Mullins, and I am delighted to lead us in worship today. And let us continue to do so, to worship the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us stand in body and spirit for the call to worship. Great God, remind us once again of your generosity.
Without your word, we have nothing to say.
Without your spirit, we are aimless wanderers.
Without your son, the power of our faith fades.
God of grace, before whose face our vision falls,
help us to sing your praises this day
and to worship you in spirit and truth.
Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us come now to the one who forgives us through his grace in our call to confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry.
Too real to hide and too deep to undo.
Forgive what our lips tremble to name.
What our hearts can no longer bear.
And what has become for us
a consuming fire of judgment.
Set us free from a past that we cannot change.
Open us to a future in which we can be changed.
Grant us grace
to grow more and more in your likeness and image.
Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Blessed and eternal God, we thank you this day that you calm and quiet us, that you center us in this space, to remind us of the deep voice that lurks within our heart. For it is a reversed thunder, O God, that sounds forth the cry of our wounded hearts. Help us to speak truthfully to you, O God. Help us, O God, to say those things in our hearts that we tremble to name to others. God, help us to admit that we don't have it all together. Help us, O God, to say in our hearts that we're fearful, faithless, and often tired. But we know, O God, that your Spirit calls us to say these things. Not because we have the power to change them, but that your Spirit has the power to forgive them and to restore, to redeem, and to heal. God, hear that deep voice within each of us. As we confess to you those sins that weigh heavily upon our hearts, that you will touch our hearts. Hear our prayer, that we may rise and walk and be healed and one in your Spirit. And now, O God, hear the silent prayers of our hearts as we continue to confess to you our sin. Amen. It is by the goodness, grace, peace, and mercy of Jesus Christ that we live each and every day of our lives. And I declare to you in his name that we are forgiven. Therefore, we should always forgive one another. Will you please stand?
Remain standing, please, for the signing of the peace of God be with you. With your right hand, make that L, touch your left shoulder, and go to your right hip. God be with you. One more time. God be with you. And if you would turn to your neighbors and sign the peace of God.
Oh, peaceable ones, come on. That's just too much peace this morning. Guys are getting silly out there. I do think we have a young disciple here with us today. Do you feel like coming forward and helping light with the candle? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to practice social distancing so you can come up about halfway up to this carpet, because I've learned the hard way when I put that mask over this microphone, bad things happen. That's good, right there, honey. Perfect. Today I'm going to tell a story from the Bible in which Jesus is very busy and he's rushing to preach and teach. And someone comes up to him and says, "Look, my little daughter is sick. She's so sick she's going to die at any moment. Will you please come?" And Jesus immediately says, "Okay." So he turns around and he starts following. But while he's following, a woman comes up who's very sick and touches him. And at that moment, there's a crowd all around Jesus. But Jesus knows that someone who's sick touched him. And he says, "Who touched me?" And everyone laughs. "We're all touching you. It's a crowd." But Jesus knew. And the woman came up and said, "It was me. You healed me." And Jesus hugged her and sent her off on his way. So it reminds us that sometimes we're busy. We have places to go, but we can always be interrupted by someone who needs us. Amen. Amen. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to light this. You remember how this works, right, sweetie? I hope you're not embarrassed. You're such a great help. I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to give this to you, and you will facilitate this lovely process. And I made it very, the flame is quite robust. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Thank you for coming forward, sweetie. I appreciate it. You're welcome. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for all of those who capture our hearts and minds. We thank you for children in this world. We ask, O God, that you would stir our hearts and our minds to remember that children are still going hungry, that children are still in abusive relationships, that children require our love and care. And so help us to be interrupted amidst pandemic and fears and our own busyness to respond to the least of these. In your precious name, amen. Friends, once again, I gently remind all of us that our offering plates are located at this door and that door. And if you have not placed your offering in those plates, you can do so safely and socially distanced as you exit. Friends, in gratitude for the many and varied gifts that God continually bestows upon our lives, let us return but a portion in our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. God, your hand is never clenched, holding back. It is always open and bestowing upon us exactly what we need. And so we thank you, O God. We thank you that you are good, and your goodness is shown to us in the many ways that we have enough to eat, that we have a safe place to sleep, that we have clothes to wear and work to do. Thank you, O God, for all of these gifts, and help us to return but a portion so that others may find what we are so grateful to have received. For we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son.
Jim, I think that's the Apostles' Creed.
Yes, I got the wrong place.
Yeah, no worries, brother. I'm just glad I knew what that was off the top of my head. That'd be embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
No. All right.
Now see that? Look how he got up and helped you. When I mess up, nobody does that for me. You know what? I'm going to remember that, folks. They must love you.
I would guess just the opposite. I am sorry. We got mixed up on our messages, didn't we? And this is my first moment, so, and it's different than the old one. So I'm giving lots of excuses if you're willing to hear it.
And I'll take the blame for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's do the prayer of illumination. Let us pray, Lord God, please open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our lips to speak, and our minds to understand your word as it is proclaimed to me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And I guess I'm supposed to read Scripture 23?
Yeah. 123, yep.
Find
yep.
it for me. Can you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it up there?
Jim, it's already printed there for you.
We didn't get a chance to cover this either.
Look at this. All right, that's not socially distanced,
she said,
folks.
You want to read it?
Let's keep it together here.
I am really
here.
Sorry. Psalms 123. I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of the slave look to the hand of the master, as the eyes of the female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Jim.
I think I'm done.
The bar's pretty low now, thank you. I appreciate that. Friends, let's now turn to the New Testament, specifically the Gospel according to St. Mark, the fifth chapter, starting in verse 21 and going until verse 43. Let's listen to the word of the Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, "Why do you make such a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the little girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So often a conversation with God goes something like this. "Lord, if you just heal me, I'll go to church every chance I get." It's what we all call the bargain conversation with God, and sometimes it's for things that are very important, like our health. Very important, like wanting the Buckeyes to win. Very important, like wanting a good parking space at Walmart. I don't know. But sometimes it's less than noble. Maybe we want to just have a little more money. Maybe we want just a little more recognition. But even if the requests are misguided, people are utterly sincere about their requests. People ask things from God all the time. And sometimes, as I said, the story can be heart-wrenching. "Heal my sick child." Whatever the case, we ask because we believe that God can do it. Now, there's no shame in it, asking for God to do something. Legend has it that a young man by the name of Martin Luther was caught in a violent thunderstorm in southern Germany on his way home while clinging to a tree with tear-stained eyes, with lightning and thunderstorm all around him. He cried out, "Lord, if you save me, I'll become a monk." Later, as that world-renowned theologian and monk, he would go on to criticize that kind of bargain-making theology with God. That didn't stop him from asking. Somehow we can influence God is not theologically sound, according to Martin Luther. The irony in this case is that Martin was to be saved from that storm in the forest to be prepared for the greater storm of the Protestant Reformation. You see, when we ask something of God, you had best be prepared to enter into a sticky relationship. You had best be prepared to enter into a deeper relationship with God. Jairus, the temple leader, asks something of Jesus. Jairus says, my daughter's about to die. Please come and heal her. Jesus will do it. And on the way to the dying daughter, there is a woman in the crowd, and she is unnamed, and her sickness is secret to the crowd and unknown to Jesus, and no public request is made. She carries her sickness with shame. Now, a powerful, well-known synagogue leader can hush the crowd with a flick of his wrist and ask Jesus for a request. That's how it works for the powerful and well-connected. But not this woman. She's considered unclean. In her religious culture, she is in a very personal and delicate situation. One that would blush at mentioning in the pulpit. But unfortunately, not me, y'all. She can't stop bleeding. And because of that, in the worldview that surrounds her of the religion of her day, that means she cannot prepare food, she cannot be greeted in public, she cannot worship at the synagogue, and if anyone happens to touch her, they are ritually unclean. This was the warped and outdated religious worldview she lived in. That because she had continuous vaginal bleeding, she was an outcast. Religious folk do things like that. Make rules so that people feel less human. You know, in 1,000 years, I often wonder what stuff will they look at that we've done and shake their heads in disappointment. Well, thank goodness this woman doesn't want to live that way. With danger and judgment all around her, like a young man caught in a thunderstorm hugging a tree for dear life and begging God to spare him, like a well-to-do synagogue leader falling at Jesus' feet on behalf of his dying daughter, like any one of us who've prayed and bargained and pleaded and wondered where to go to make it right, like any one of us who've just wanted to be healed, forgiven, protected, and loved again. She sets out with the desperate intentions to be made well. And I don't know about you, but she doesn't really have the most theological, precise plan. You know, she's like, maybe if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. I'm glad she didn't come to me with that plan because I would have told her it sounds a little ridiculous. But she believed that it would work. And that's all that mattered in this story. Because the real story within a story is that when you ask something of God, as I've said, you had better be prepared to enter into a deeper relationship with God. The unnamed woman with the bleeding stigma is not the only one to defer to Jesus in this passage. Whereas the woman had lost all her social standing due to her illness, Jairus is just the opposite. He has all his social standing intact. But here's the subtext. If Jesus, the traveling street preacher, was touched by this bleeding woman and then goes to Jairus' house is now unclean. And not only that, if Jesus touches the dead daughter, Jesus is now unclean. It's a conundrum. Even if the daughter is raised up, Jairus' social standing may be lowered by interacting with Jesus. That's another thing to keep in mind. When you ask something of God and Jesus, the consequences can be problematic. Now, I would like to think that the unnamed woman and Jairus are a lot like anybody who asks something of God. We make bargains with God in our heart. Oh Lord, if you do X, then I will do Y. And she knows that this has to work in her heart. Now the question that I often ponder when I think about this passage, I wonder what Jairus will do after his daughter has been restored to life. He runs the synagogue. That's a place where people worship. I wonder if his life will change after seeing his dead daughter's eyes flicker to life. I wonder if unclean people will be able to worship in his synagogue. I wonder if he'll do things differently. You see, Jesus can be interrupted, no matter how important his mission may be. He was on the way to the synagogue. He was on the way to perform a request of someone powerful and respected, and somebody touches him, and he stops. That shows me there's a possibility that people can change. The deeper relationship God invites us into is also a relationship with Jesus. And it is a relationship that shows us that healing is not just about the body, but also having a tenderness in our heart, a gentleness in our spirit, a loving and intimate commitment to care for people like Jesus cares for us. You see, when Jesus was on his way to the synagogue to heal an important man's daughter, what came first? Where the crowd was going, or the gentle touch of an unclean, bleeding woman? That's all it took to move Jesus from his course. I hope that we can do that as a church. Whatever plans we make, whatever dates we set, or tasks we set out to accomplish, we always need to remember that we can be interrupted and sidetracked and detoured at any time by someone who is sick, lonely, or desperate for love. Friends, the hard truth also in this passage is not everyone who prays to be healed is healed. But sometimes they are, and praise to God for that. But the real healing is always the deeper relationship that we can have with God. It's like the smiling grandfather who said from a deck chair on his patio to his grandson, "I have not been healed of Parkinson's disease, but I've been healed of my fear of Parkinson's disease." There was a young mother, and there was a young father who had a little daughter, and they decided to go to church one Sunday morning. And who knows why, to look respectable and decent maybe, the irresistible urge to see their precious child in a Sunday dress, I suppose. And this little daughter, clutching a mother's hand on her right and her father's hand on the left, sauntered into the large white paneled sanctuary with high, clear windows and a huge set of pipe organs above them. The choir was filling into the loft and the blue robes were swaying. And by the time this young family found an open pew towards the front of the sanctuary, the pastor was taking her seat in the chancel. What no one knew is that this family had made a deal with God. If their terribly sick daughter recovered, they would seek a place to praise God for her healing. And so there they were. The first Sunday she was released from the hospital, the little child still had a small rattling cough. Now, friends, we know what that means in today's culture. Heaven forbid you have a rattling cough. An older couple sitting behind the little girl stiffened each time she coughed. They shook their heads in disgust that a mother and father would bring a coughing child to a church service. And I think in some cases they may be right. But after a while, the elderly couple had had enough, and the older woman leaned forward with her mask on and asked them to leave. The father turned around and smiled. "I'm sorry. Trust me, she will not make you sick. In fact, if you touch her, she'll make you well. Amen." Friends, let us stand and affirm our deep faith by saying silently in our hearts, and I will say out loud, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, I now invite Pastor Keith to come forward for our prayers of the people.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's good to be with all of you this day, and I call your attention to our prayers and concerns that we have listed in the bulletin this morning. And I know there are many probably on our hearts and our minds that we need to add to that list. And just one other note that I do want to call special attention to this morning. If you will notice to the left of the prayer report, we have a special birthday of a church member who's coming up. Vivian McCall will be turning 103 on the 28th of this month. And so I've listed her address at the Helen Purcell Home, and I encourage everyone to send her a card. She'd love to hear from all of you. So. With that, your turn. Who's got a joy or a concern that you'd like to uplift this morning? Yes.
This week is a month since Jody has passed, and it's also her birthday.
Oh.
The month that she passed. So the 17th would be her birthday, and that's also the 1 month date that she passed. Also, we need to pray for Paul Bricker, as he's had a stroke and he's recovering.
Yeah, so continue to pray for Jody Bricker's family, and including an extra prayer for Paul as he is recovering from his stroke that he had approximately about three, four weeks ago. Yes. Okay, others? Yes, Carolyn.
Our friend Terry is cancer escrow.
Okay.
Mm.
Terry Anders.
Okay, thank you. A joy. Wonderful, Julie.
A joy for looking forward to the Advent season and the Thanksgiving season, that it brings happiness to our spirits.
Yes, so Julie is lifting up a joy that she's looking forward to the Thanksgiving and Christmas Advent season, as I know a lot of folks are, as I've already seen Christmas lights lit on some houses, and I know individuals already have their trees up, so... and that's okay. I know some people say, well, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. But, you know, I think in the time that we are living right now, people are looking for a little bit of joy. And so if you find joy in a lit Christmas tree, by all means, put it up. So, okay, that was my little soapbox. So, yeah. Because mine might go up this week. That's the reason I say that. So, others, anybody have anything else? Don't want to miss anyone. Let us pray. Loving, grateful God, we just give you thanks right now, Lord, for your presence with us. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns within our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit. We give thanks this day that you hear our prayers and that you pour out that healing spirit upon all who will call upon your name. And sometimes, Lord, that healing comes in that ultimate healing where maybe a loved one is reunited with you. Or maybe, as Pastor Will said, it comes through the healing of the body here on this earth. Whatever the case may be, Lord, we continue to lift up and pray for your healing, your care and comfort, and your spirit to be upon all of these names that we have before us and those that have been lifted up and added to. And then we pray for our own understanding of your will that will be done. We are so thankful once again for this church, this community that you've placed us all to live and serve in. And yes, Lord, we are called to serve. So may you open our hearts and our ears and our eyes so that we may see, hear, and speak to those who are in need, whatever that need may be. Because, Lord, we can be the answer to that one's prayer. We give thanks for this nation that we are part of. And we pray for all of those who continue to serve, whether they serve in the armed forces or whether they serve on our police, fire, or EMS protection. We pray for all of them. We pray for their safety. We pray for their families who are separated from their loved ones. And then last but not least, we continue to pray for this situation that is upon all of us. And we pray that the ultimate healing will come as you take this virus away and as we begin to return to what we used to know as normal. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who taught his disciples to pray, beginning, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Dear friends, go into the week ahead of you expecting to be interrupted. Go into the week ahead of you with the mercy and peace of Christ in your heart to show mercy and healing to others. Go in peace. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.